You're listening to Red Leg Nation Radio, the official podcast of RedLegNation.com.
Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio, and we're really excited tonight to have Devin Mesoraco with us. Devin, welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio.
Well, thanks for having me again, bro.
Devin, you made the bigs last year, and we're all really, really proud of you. But I have to publicly tell you that Red Leg Nation Radio is taking all the credit for your career taking off and you making the big leagues. We've even considered putting it on a T-shirt.
That's pretty good.
Seriously, Devin, tell us about last season. You played 120 games at Louisville. Tell us about that part of your year before we start talking about your time with the Reds.
Yeah, I really enjoyed my time in Louisville. It's an awesome city, great stadium, you know, everything. The fans were very supportive. We had, a good collection of guys there that really enjoyed playing together with, you know, me, Todd Frazier, Zach Cozart, Corky Miller. We didn't play as good as what I think we hoped we would, but it was very enjoyable. And you know, I had some success there, and towards the end there, I was looking forward to, you know, getting that call in September. So it was, I might have been a little bit distracted, but I definitely enjoyed my time in Louisville.
Were you happy with your AAA season, both offensively and defensively?
Yeah, definitely. I think defensively wise, I was, I kind of felt like I actually became a pretty good catcher, and guys started to enjoy throwing to me, and so that was really my main focus going into the year, was to kind of round out my game catching wise, and just make it where everything God wants for me. So that was good. And offensively, I think I started off real well, and did. In the first half of the year, second half, I lagged off a little bit, but it's still pretty solid, and I was happy with the overall outcome.
Overall, what'd you catch? About 100 games last year, maybe a little more?
I think, including my time in the big leagues, it was right about 110, something like that, 115 maybe.
How'd your legs and your back and that stuff hold up? Did you have any problems?
Good, yeah, good, no problems. No, I was. Last year was really the, I didn't miss any time, even for any. The year before, I had a couple issues with my hamstring and stuff, and minor concussion, but this year I didn't miss a single game because of injury, knock on wood. So that was, one thing that it was kind of tough to control, but it worked out good last year, and I was very happy about that.
Hey, Devin, there's no such thing as a minor concussion.
So, I got ran over to play 2 years ago whenever we played in Zebulon, North Carolina, and he got me pretty good. It was an old football player that played at Bowling Green University, I think, and he hit me like a linebacker should. So
yeah,
it definitely was a concussion.
So you got called up in September. You went up for September. How were you told that you were going up?
I kind of knew going into the game on the 31st there, about a week before, talked to Rick Sweet and said, hey, I'd imagine that you're going to get called up here on September 1st, so be prepared for that. So that gave me an opportunity to get everything packed up and, tell my parents and, got to fly my brother out, and he was able to be there. So I had all that, all my ducks in a row, I guess. And then that day, right when I got to the field, Rick pulled me aside and said, "Hey, you're going to be going up. You got to stay for the game, watch the game, and after that, you can go right up to Cincinnati. I'll have a hotel ready for you."
So tell us about the first time you walked into the big league locker room. Was it everything that you dreamed of growing up?
I've been in the locker room a couple other times in the past, but to actually see it with the major leaguers in there with, you know, guys like Scott Rowland and Joey and guys like that have been successful. And, you know, to see those guys in there and think that I'm on the same team as them is just, it was a pretty special moment for me. You know, that's kind of what I've been working towards my whole life, and to actually get that opportunity was definitely pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm sure it's quite a bit different. I mean, you've been in big league camp for spring training and like that, but I would think this is a whole different feeling when you walk in there as a regular player and games are going to count for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. Minor league camp or major league camp is nice, and everything is kind of geared towards getting you ready, getting close to the big league. But I mean, it's really nothing like the actual experience of getting called up and being up there.
I know you knew, you know, some of the guys from spring training and playing with them in the past, but when you got up to the big club, did anybody kind of take you under their wing and show you the way things work and what to do and how to handle yourself?
I wouldn't say it was, you know, one person, one individual that really helped me. I think, everybody really seemed to be, you know, real nice, real supportive, whether it was baseball or even, you know, going out to dinner and stuff like that. Everybody kind of pitched in and helped out. Baseball wise, with Ron Hannigan, he was banged up a little bit there in September, so he didn't catch a lot. So whenever I wasn't playing, I kind of stick beside him and listen to what he had to say and stuff like that. I wouldn't say it was one guy, but everybody just kind of, you know, took me in as a guy that hopefully, you know, will be around for a while, and I'll be able to get to know them more in the future.
So Saturday, September the 3rd was your major league debut. Can you tell us about that first game?
Yeah, it was in St. Louis, and it was right at the beginning of a road trip there, and I hadn't played yet, so I figured either St. Louis or Chicago, I would be able to get my first action and, you know, be in those two teams in the division. Teams with just as good a teams as what, you know, what St. Louis is, and then Wrigley Field being able to start my first game there would have been pretty cool. It was pretty cool. And my first at bat, it was, I think, in the sixth or seventh inning. We were down a couple runs, and Dusty had yonder Alonzo up, and he was going to pinch hit if somebody was on base. But it turned out that the second guy made the second out, and it was two outs, nobody on. So they told me to go hit, and I was facing Mitchell Boggs, and he was throwing pretty hard, so I figured I'd just, you know, hope for a fastball in the first pitch and more than likely take a hack at it. And first pitch fastball, and I hit a double over the left fielder's head.
Pretty good way to start. And as you said, your first game that you got to start was that following Monday up in Chicago. Tell us about that game.
Yeah, it was pretty special. Just being in such a storied place as Wrigley Field, and I actually got to catch Dontrell Willis, who I was pretty tight with from our days in Louisville. We had our lockers by each other, and you know, I caught him, you know, 15 times down there, so that was pretty cool to be able to share that day with him. And my parents were there, my little brother was there, and I think I got a hit my third at bat, and then didn't fare too well the rest of the day, but heck, I can't remember. I was just so happy to actually be starting the game and be catching and meeting on the plate, but you know, whatever I did after play, it didn't really matter.
Do you think that first game, having Dontrell on the mound, who you'd thrown to a bunch of times in Louisville, did it make a little less nerve-wracking for you?
Yes and no. I'd say I was familiar with what he liked to throw and the way he liked to attack hitters, but Dontrell ain't the easiest guy to catch. He, his ball's got a lot of movement, and sometimes it might not be the movement that you expect, and he's a tough guy to catch. And back there, he's got a, you know, real good slider, good breaking ball that he you know, throw it different ways at different times. So he knows what he's doing, and I had been on the same page. I was lucky enough to catch him enough where I knew what he wanted to do. So that was good, but it was just nice to be out here with him, and he's such a good competitor and a guy that you really root for. You know, anything that I could do to help him that day was pretty good, exciting for me, because he was trying to get his first win there in, you know, a couple of years. So if I could have helped him do that, that would have been, you know, a thrill for me.
So how would you sum up your September with the Reds and the way you played and what you saw? And was it as good as you expected? And did anything really surprise you?
No, it was absolutely, you know, everything that I expected and then some. It was, you know, the major leagues. Whenever, you know, you think about all the best stuff, all the best hotels, all the, you know, best players in the world, the best scouting reports, everything like that. Everything is, you know, maximized, and it's just, you know, it's hard to describe because it's such a fun experience and it's such a enjoyable time. But, you know, for me, I kind of got my feet wet. I didn't play as well the way I expected to, or, you know, the way that I think I can. And, you know, that kind of showed me that I've got to keep working, and there are things that I, you know, really do need to improve upon. And going into this year, I think I'll have much better experience, and they're not going to be anything new for me going into this season, hopefully being in Cincinnati. It'll be, you know, this is, I've been here before, this is what I need to do, and I'll just be able to do it as opposed to going up there not really knowing what to do.
When the season ended, were you given any instructions or anything from the coaching staff or Dusty about getting ready for next year?
Nothing really right when the season ended. I have a good program, you know, that I follow in the offseason, and I work with the trainers a little bit to kind of tweak a couple things or get things to where they need to be for next year. But I talked with Dusty a couple times this offseason, and just mostly, you know, just come ready to spring training, and you know, you'll go from there. We'll go from there, and most of it, the stuff that I'm working with right now is just the scouting reports and trying to watch some of the video from last year, and, you know, just getting a little head start on this upcoming season.
I'm sure we've talked about this in the past, but I really can't remember your answer. Do you hit much in the off season?
Do I hit? Yeah, I during the off season, I usually start hitting right around the first of the year, and just kind of gradually work my way into it. And right now, I'm out about 6 days a week, five or six.
Now, but your conditioning, working on your legs and your knees and your back and stuff. Do you ever take any time off of that when the season's over, or is that
yeah,
ongoing?
Yeah. The first month I get back home, usually in October there, I kind of just shut everything down, and that's usually my month for hunting. I'll go out every day and hunt, and then once hunting season's over, that's whenever I really start working out.
Did you do Reds Fest this year?
Yeah, I did Reds Fest.
You did Reds Fest and the Reds Caravan, correct?
Yeah, both.
So tell us about the Reds Fest experience now that, you know, that you're more of a, you're not a minor leaguer anymore, you know? Now you're one of the guys on the big club.
Yeah, Reds Fest was fun. It was, I think more people actually, you know, I had the white major league jersey on, so more people actually knew who it was. But Reds Fest is always fun, I think. Just to actually see how many fans that we actually have, is that the team actually has, and that, you know, I as an individual have, you know, it's pretty cool just to be able to actually meet them, shake their hands, talk to them a little bit. That's always enjoyable. And I would enjoy the celebrity poker tournament, which I never seem to fare too awful well, but I enjoy playing it.
Who were you, which group, who was in your group for the Reds Caravan?
It was me, Tom Bredeman, Tom Browning, Walt, and Ryan Lamar.
Tom Browning's a handful, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's a character. I've been, you know, around him a lot in the past.
Yeah.
Just with instructional league and stuff like that. He's a fun guy.
He did an interview with us for Red Leg Nation a couple of years ago, and I went back. I was amazed. I was quizzing him on his first big league game, and he remembered, I think it was 7 of the 8 starters in his first big league start. I was amazed at how much recall he had.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, you can have some of the fans will ask him about a certain game they were at, and he seems to remember very, very small details from almost anything.
So
even some of the fans would ask him if he met him in the past, and he would tell him where they met and stuff like that. He's pretty fucking, pretty crazy just to think that he can actually remember all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm hoping I get a chance to meet up, you know, talk to him up in Dayton this year, because I really hope he does well with the Dragons. Going into the off season, with knowing that you're going to start the season in the big leagues, did you do anything different this off season?
No, I kind of just stayed with what has been working. What I've done the past 2 off seasons has been very successful in preparing me for the year. So I've just been sticking with that, and you know, maybe throwing in the scouting report side of it. Reviewing a lot more film and stuff like that, but other than that, that's about it.
So do you have, what are your expectations for yourself for 2012?
It's kind of hard to say, I guess. For me, I know there's a lot of room to improve, so I'm just going to go into the season, you know, however much I play, however much of an opportunity I get, I'll just take full advantage of that and go out there and play as hard as I can and hopefully help the team win every day. And I think if I play the way that, you know, I'm capable of, I think everybody's going to be pretty happy with the performance. So I'm just really focused on myself and trying to be the best that I can be this year, and just, you know, kind of let things happen from there. I don't really set a number of goals or anything like that. It's just something. I think at the end of the year, I'll either be, you know, satisfied with the way I played, or, you know, I'll know that, heck, that isn't who I am, and there's room for improvement. So we'll see at the end of the year where I'm at, hopefully on the satisfied part.
Do you, going into this season, I mean, you know you're basically replacing Ramon Hernandez, who had some pretty, you know, really good offensive numbers for the Reds the past several seasons. Do you think, does that put any more pressure on you, or do you just concentrate on being Devin Mesoraco?
Yeah, I think that's really all I can do, is go out there and play the way that I can play. You know, Ramon has been very valuable to the organization just as far as what he's done here the past 3 or 4 years, whatever it's been. We're working with the pitchers, all the clutch hits that he's came up with. So it's definitely going to be tough to replace him, but I'll go out there and do the best I can. Like I said, if I play the way that I can up to my potential, I think everybody's going to be pretty satisfied.
What can you learn from working with Ryan Hannigan, or you know, splitting time, or however it works out? But what can you learn from Ryan Hannigan?
Well, he's been with these guys for, you know, for so long. He's come up with some of these guys through the organization. Been in a big year. Big leagues, I think 4 or 5 years now. So he knows what to expect out of all the pitchers. He knows some of the pitching on the opposing teams. But he gets a real sharp guy, very approachable. You know, I can ask him questions whenever, and he'll be happy to answer them. He's just a thinking and catcher, which is something that you know, I'd like to consider myself a guy that is pretty smart and knows how to control the pitching staff and how to you know, just call a game. So it'll be fun to work with him, and that's something that me and Dusty have been talking about, and just, you know, pick his brain and see what he things that work for him. with the pitchers. And, you know, things will be good. I think it's going to be a very good relationship.
So what have you been? What's your feeling on all these big moves that they made in the offseason, bringing in Lattos and Marshall and Madsen?
Yeah, it's exciting. I think texting back and forth with some of the guys, you know, everybody's pumped up to get down there spring training, pumped up to get going. And I think if you look at last season, the hitting was pretty good, and the defense was solid, but our pitching kind of fell behind a little bit compared to what we thought it was going to be. So, you know, go out there and get guys who have been successful in the league, and Lattos and Madsen and Marshall, those guys have been up there with some of the best at their position. So, to bring them on to what we already have going offensively, defensively, and just the pitching staff that we have in place, other than those guys, I think you look at the talent that we have going into spring training, and there are definitely no excuses for us not to compete in the division.
Yeah, you know, the Marshall and Madsen pickups really have you have to believe are going to shorten some ball games.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Those two guys at the back end of the bullpen, they've been in the National League the past couple of years. They know all the hitters. They both have outstanding stuff that they can just say, all right, you know, doesn't matter who it is, here it comes. And, you know, you couple that with Bill Bragg, who's been very successful the past 2 years, and Nick Massa, who, you know, has some of the best stuff in the league. That back of the bullpen is going to be, you know, lights out. And, you know, who knows what they're going to do with Chapman. Walt has stated that he's going to be a starter. But I'm sure if you know, we're in the playoffs or in the crunch time at the end of the year, and we have the opportunity to bring Chapman and Alton, put him in the pen, I mean, that makes it almost, you know, 5-6 inning game with Chapman, Marshall, and Mathen back there. It's, you know, three guys that are absolutely lights out.
Were you, I can't remember now, Devin, were you at Louisville? Did you catch Chapman at all at Louisville?
I caught him. I didn't catch him when he was a starter 2 years ago, but last year when he was there on rehab,
okay,
the time that I caught him, I think it was just 1 or 2 minutes.
What does he need? And I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, so I don't mean to do it, it sound that way, but From a catcher's perspective, what would you think he needs to do to be an effective starter?
Just consistency, that's all. He flashes all the pitches that you would want. You know, he even flashes a changeup in bullpens or in between games. He'll mess around and throw a nasty changeup. But I think somebody with his size and with his arm speed, for him to have a consistent release, to have a perfect control, it's just going to take a whole lot of time for him to iron things out and to kind of get that consistency. He's going to almost have to be a starter, just because in the bullpen, you know, you throw one inning or here, one inning there, whatever. But as a starter, he's going to, it's just going to take some time for him to kind of develop that consistency. And, you know, heck, it might not be this year, but I think this is definitely in his best interest, in his best interest in the long run, for him to become a starter. And I think that he can definitely do it. The guy's like, he's like a racehorse, man. He's never tired, never sore. He's always ready to go. So for him to become a starter, which I think he definitely can. He has been in the past. It's definitely the best thing to do in the long run.
If you had to, and again, I'm going to put you on the spot for just a little bit here, but if you had to make a prediction, who would you think is going to be the backup to Roland?
You know, it's hard to tell, but I'd say right now they'd have to be leaning to Juan Francisco. Just from it seemed like I'd say the two guys would be him and Frazier, or Russ Iverson obviously play there.
Right.
Or Rick Wilson's out there, I think he could obviously play there. But those two guys are kind of younger guys who really haven't shown the extent of what they can do. But Francisco has really come a long way, I think, in his defense. I think it's become very solid as far as some of the plays that he's made that I've seen him make this past year and has been able to get to in the years prior. But he's become very solid at third base, and you know, with the power that he has, he can do a lot of damage in a hurry. So
he can hit the ball a long way, can he?
Yeah, I mean, he's a freak of nature. When he connects, I mean, it just keeps going. It doesn't stop. I was there in Cincinnati when he hit one out of the stadium there in September. So that was something to see. It was, you didn't really know how far it was off the bat, and then it went over the bleachers, and you're like, holy cow, that was, he just hit it out of the stadium. You know what I mean? It was pretty weird.
Yeah, the only guy I can think of, the other guy that did that is Adam Dunn, and he's a pretty big boy.
Yeah, he's a huge dude, too. But at the same time, you know, Frazier, I think they see him more of a guy that can play anywhere, which he can do.
That's
he
what
can
I...
help the team out anything, and he could play short in a pinch, could probably play second in a pinch, can definitely play third, can definitely play left, play first. But he's a team-first guy that'll do anything to help the team win. So, he's definitely a guy that you want on your side, and either way, I think they'll be fine. Hopefully, Scott is 100% healthy and can play, you know, upwards of 100 games this year. But if he's not, I think we'll be in good hands.
If you were an odds maker, and I don't even like you, if somebody made you say, are you guys the favorite in the division?
For me, I would have to go with the Cardinals just because they won the World Series last year. I mean, we haven't had any success in the playoffs with the guys that have been here. So the division wise, that's a little bit of a different story. But the Cardinals have won in the past. They won the World Series. Obviously, they lost two holes, but they're bringing in some more talent, and they got the core group of the guys there, other than Pujols, that have been successful for however many years, that they know how to win. And, you know, we'll have to beat them. Kind of like going into last year, they had to beat us to kind of take back the division, the crown of the division. So we'll see how it goes.
Last year was a disappointment for fans and I'm sure players alike is the season didn't go the way any of us expected it to go. Is there a feeling in the clubhouse or in the organization of redemption, you know, of this is the year that we're going to make up for last year? This is going to be the year we wish we'd have had last year, that kind of thing?
Yeah, definitely. I think everybody's a little bit hungrier. They got a little taste of the playoffs there in 2010. And, you know, things didn't go the way everybody expected them to go last year. So this year is kind of, you've seen what's well done and brought those pitchers in, and you've seen everybody's kind of getting a little bit older, and guys are getting closer to their to being free agents. So it's time to go. It's time for the group of guys that they have here to you know, go for it and try to win the division and then get in the playoffs and see what happens. Everybody just, I think, real excited just, talking a little bit to the guys, Jay and guys like that. Everybody, man, everybody's ready to get down to spring training and ready to just get back.
If you had to pick a key or two to the Reds, to what has to happen for the Reds to be successful this year, what would you say those would be?
Well, I think first and foremost, Scott Rowland has to stay healthy. He's, I think, definitely our leader, our clubhouse leader. If you know, everybody kind of looks up to him. He's been a superstar. He's been an all-star. He's been everything in the game. So he's been in the pennant races and stuff like that. So he knows, any situation that comes up, he's been there. So everybody kind of looks to him, and when he's healthy, we're a completely different team with him at third base. You know, we're batting in the middle of the order. He's just a consummate pro that you can't really replace somebody like that. So he would have to stay healthy, man. I think other than that, the new pitchers that we brought in, everybody expects a lot out of them, but they just have to do what they've done in the past. These guys have been successful, and, you know, if they come in and do what they've done in the past, that makes our pitching staff a whole lot better.
So when are you headed out to Arizona?
I'm flying out on the 15th.
Okay. So wrapping this up, I'm going to ask you one last question. Is there anything that you'd like to tell Reds fans about what they can look forward to in 2012?
Hopefully another division winner. I think that would make everybody pretty happy. So like I said, we'll have to battle the Cardinals and the defending division winners and the Brewers, but with some of the things that we've done this offseason, and guys are hungry, ready to get after it. So we're hopefully looking for another division win.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Devin Mesoraco have his first opening day in Cincinnati, because as I'm sure you've been told, opening day in Cincinnati is a very special thing.
Yeah, we only get to watch it in the minor league because our season doesn't start until a couple days after. And, you know, obviously the Reds are always on TV, so it seems like a heck of a time and something that would be a whole lot of fun to be a part of.
All right, Devin. Well, thank you very much for your time, and good luck this season. And maybe we can check in with you during the season and see how you're enjoying your first season in the big leagues.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Okay, bud. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, bye.